I want to look at Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. I want to raise a question tonight. Does anyone believe in hell anymore? We see our country and we see how people act and react, and it sure doesn't look like it. In Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, John outlines here some categories of people that's going to this place which burns with fire, which is called hell. He writes, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and warmongers or fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, we like to talk about heaven. That's a popular subject. Hell is an unpopular subject in religion today. Revelation sets forth the ultimate defeat and doom of Satan. In Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, we see that John wrote, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Those folks who have identified with Satan and also his angels, or are so identified as the children of Satan, shall suffer the frightening fate of hell at some point. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, Jesus himself said, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, in the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." That's the judgment scene. The judgment scene, Jesus said, hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell is not a place of torments for you and I unless we choose to go there. John 8:44, Jesus said, "Ye of your father the devil, the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." With those remarks, this lesson was set forth the reality of a place in the Bible called hell, and why people, you and I, should get serious about avoiding this place. In the first place, let's look at the biblical descriptions of hell in Revelation 21 and 8. First of all, it's a lake that burns with fire and brimstone. Jesus used the Greek word Gehenna to identify hell. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 22, Jesus said, "But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire." Gehenna or hell is found 12 times in the New Testament. Jesus used the word Gehenna or hell 11 of those 12 times in the Gospels. Jesus said hell is a place of fire. If you turn with me to Mark chapter 9, verses 43 through 48, we will see Jesus' description of this place. And he's going to talk about things that we do that if we quit doing them, then it'd be better for us to have lose a member of our bodies rather than be cast into hell. Begin verse 43 of Mark 9. "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that should never be quenched. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life than have 2 feet to be cast into hell, where the fire that never shall be quenched. Where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire. Where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. What's he talking about? He's talking about our lives. If it's something we're doing in our lives that displeases God, he says, quit doing it. You keep on doing it, you risk the chance of having your soul be cast into hell. Because Jesus talked about hell being an everlasting fire. Prepared for the devil and his angels, Matthew 25:41. Prepared for the devil and his angels. Those words, prepared. Hell is prepared already for the devil and his angels. Now, God does not want us to go there. Because Peter would say, God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. Repentance is a key, folks. We're doing something in God's sight we shouldn't be doing, we should repent of it. Repent of it and get right with God. Because the place called hell is described as a second death. The physical death is separation of body and the spirit. In Hebrews 9:27, it's important unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Now, we will all die one day unless we be privileged to be alive when Jesus comes. But we also see that we don't have to suffer the second death, because the second death, if we do suffer that, then that was our fault. That's my fault. That would be your fault. James 2:26, the writer would say, for as a body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. He says, you don't have an active, moving, vibrant faith. Those people who are candidates for hell will have a dead faith. They won't be interested in the gospel. They won't be interested in teaching. They won't be interested in learning. They'll be interested in doing what they want to do upon the earth, of their own activities. And hell at the end of time is separation from God. Can you imagine? Just imagine being separated from God. He created every one of us. And now we've told God no. The Lord will say in Matthew 25:41, depart from me. Depart from me. In fact, if you look at in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, not everyone that saith to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. He said, and many will say, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, in thy name done many wonderful works? And he said, depart from me, I never knew you. Sad words. This is a contrast to the new heaven and the new earth, where God shall be with his people. But we have to be interested enough in this life to show God that we are interested in living with him for eternity. In Revelation 21:3, look at this passage. John would write, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. What a great ending to humanity. For you and for me to be with God in heaven. But it's not going to be automatic, folks. We have to show God again we mean business. But to just imagine on the other side of the coin that being forever separated from God, from the warm sunlight of God's love. This is not what Jesus came to the earth to die on the cross for and to be raised from the dead for us to be to be in hell. John 3:16 has the phrase, should not perish. These folks that God did not want people to perish at the end of time. He wants people to be saved. That's the reason He sent His Son. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, Luke 19 and 10. In fact, you open up the book of Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, He said, the mission of Jesus, He shall save His people from their sins. In a sense, hell is when a person who has refused to say to God, Lord, I want Your will to be done in my life. Rather, they say, I'm going to do my will. I don't care about the will of God. I'm going to do what I want to do in this life. I'm going to have eat, drink, and be merry. For you, then you would die. But then you would die the second death. Secondly, let's look at the biblical identification of hell's inhabitants. Again, in Revelation 21 and 8. This text lists 8 different classes of people destined to experience a horror or hell. If you look at Revelation chapter 9, verses 20 and 21, before we do that, John writes, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues were yet repented, not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, idols of gold, silver, brass, and stone, and of wood, neither can see, nor hear, nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of the sorceries, nor of the fornication, nor of the thefts. He said these people wasn't interested in repenting of sins. These people wasn't interested in doing the will of God. They persisted in their sinful living. That's the reason God said in Genesis chapter 6, Jim pointed out this morning, Genesis chapter 6, God said, it repented Him that He had made man because man had become very violent on the earth. And He was going to cleanse the earth of humanity. God's going to have another cleansing one day. And this time He'll burn up the earth, and He'll cast the souls of men and women in hell because of their disobedience to Him. But let's look at these 8 candidates in Revelation 21, 8. First one, the fearful. Fear may cause some to become unfaithful to Christ. Fear may cause people to not want to do anything. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. Jesus said, and fear not them which kill the body, but are able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. A person can kill our physical body, but God is the one who sentences us to everlasting hell. And He's the one that can kill the body and the soul. Remember the case of the one talent man? One time man was given this talent, and he was expected to use it. The master came, so he got fearful. He went and hid his talent and he took care of it. He dug a hole in the ground, hid it, covered it up. Master came back and he says, well, what have you done with your talent? Oh, I've got it right here. He got it out of the ground and handed it to him. He says, I wicked and slothful servant. He's fearful. Fearful he might make a mistake. Or fearful he might not please the master. But there are other people have fears today. Fear of social rejection, fear of economic oppression, fear of family rejection if they obey the gospel, or even physical abuse keeps some from obeying the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we can see if they die in that state, then they'll be unprepared to meet God when the great day does come. Second group of people, the unbelieving. Some have never become believers. John 8:24, Jesus Himself said, I say it therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. He said it twice for emphasis. He said, if you don't believe Me, then you're going to die in your sins. If you don't believe Me, then you don't have any other recourse. Then you're going to be lost. Some have even lost their faith. Some have started out on the narrow road of life and lost their faith. But we can see in the book of Hebrews, chapter 3 and verse 12, the stern warning by the writer of that book says, take heed. He said, listen, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, we can leave God in departing from the living God. Evil heart of unbelief, unfaithfulness. Unbelievers do not obey the Lord, or they are interested in serving Him. John chapter 3, verse 36. Jesus say, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Now you have to believe on the Son, and you have to do all the proof, what Jesus says. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. You're not going to see a second life. What you going to see? The wrath, but the wrath of God abideth in him. The wrath of God will come upon you on judgment day. That's the reason Jesus gave us the great judgment picture in Matthew 25. To show us people who did do His will, they would be rewarded with heaven. People who didn't do His will, they'd be rewarded too, but they'll be rewarded with hell. And the third classification of people, the abominable. These are people who have been defiled by the abominations of idolatry, with its gross sexual vices and rejection of human dignity. These are people that may be defiled by the abominations of even false religions. These are people that, you remember the case of Jim Jones, David Koresh, cults who use these people, use these followers, and they killed them, sacrificed them. That's what we're talking about. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 9, Paul was said, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. They say they're representatives of God. They say they're obedient to the will of God. But they're not. They deceive people. They deceive people in believing that they follow God. But their actions and their religions and their ideas are diametrically opposed to God. Fourth class is murderers. God's command against murder is based upon the nature of man as having been created in the image of God. God has a right to kill. We do not have the right to kill. Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female created He them. Murders, in any shape or form or fashion, reject the sanctity of human life because God is the author of human life. Let's go to a fifth classification, Hurley. Fornicators. Fornication and premarital sexual relations, extramarital relationships, or homosexuality that attacks even the human dignity of life. The first century of the world was full of fornication. Paul wrote to the Corinth in chapter 1, verse 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. He said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God, but he be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves with mankind. He says, the unrighteous are not going to be in heaven. The sin of fornication was a threat to the purity of the church in Paul's day, and it's even in our day. Revelation chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, to one of the seven churches of Asia. This is to the church in Pergamos. Jesus said about this church, I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, and taught Balak to cast out stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed unto idols and commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine or the teaching of the Nicolaitans, which I hate. Let's look at the sixth group. Sorcerers. W.E. Vine, in his Expository Dictionary, New Testament word, says that sorcerers are those who use drugs and made appeals to occult powers. Simon, the sorcerer. He was a sorcerer before he was converted to the Lord. In Acts chapter 8, verse 13. You see this man, the commentary Luke has on this man is that Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered, behold, the miracles and signs which were done. And we understand he misunderstood later on that he could wanted to buy the power of the Holy Spirit and told him that he had sinned and he repented for that sin. The next group is idolaters. Idolatry is a man's creation of God. In human form, and made with hands. Romans chapter 1, verse 23. This was a problem in Paul's day too. It says, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Now, as in the Old Testament with Israel and with Israel's nations around Israel, so the Jews in the New Testament in Paul's day, they were worshiping idols. They were making these idols and they were worshiping them and they were making these images with their hands. Idolatry seeks to reduce God, who is a spirit, to a form of material form. We think that God is a spirit. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit. He's not something we can see. We can't see physically, but we can see Him through the Word. Whatever claims the devotion of the heart is in preference to God is idolatry. In anything, money, jobs, anything that you let go before God is idolatry. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5 in the New King James Version, it says, put to death therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. And then we're going to look at number 8. Liars. Now we understand when we read the scriptures that God is truth. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, now he's talking to Thomas. He said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There's a lie is the opposite of God and is a rejection of His nature. Lies imply the reality of truth, that truth will always win out. Lies have to be made. They have to be made up. Revelation 21:27. John says, and there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. Now this is heaven. Nothing's going to enter heaven like this, but this is what's going to enter heaven. But they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, then you will be found faithful at the end of time. Lies may be told. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 25, the Apostle Paul said to those brethren in Ephesus, he says, wherefore putting away lie. Put it away. Or it. Put it away and let that don't become part of you anymore. The only hope for those destined for hell is the gospel. Why? It reveals the truth of God. Romans 1:16, Paul would say, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." How do we get the gospel? We got the gospel because Christ died for the ungodly. Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." The doom of those who were opposite of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11, those that were in sin, Paul said, now they've been washed, they've been sanctified, they've been justified. They're on God's side now, he says. But in the third place, while biblical doctrine of hell is rejected, why is it rejected today? It's taught by some, that religious cults, to reject biblical doctrine of hell. You know, some assert that hell is just the grave. There's not really another place for the second death. Some argue that eternal hell is not fair for just a few years of sinful living on the earth. Well, what about heaven? Is heaven then fair for the rewards of eternal life just for a few years of living like God wants you to live on the earth? See, now that's where we have to make a choice. We have to make a choice what's important to us. Heaven or hell? The offensive presentations of this subject by preachers in times past. They have told about hell and they played up on people's emotions about hell and get people to act and react accordingly to the way they present the gospel. But Jesus tells us about hell in a way that we have to be serious about it. All of our lives, knowing what's going to happen at the end of time. There's a way to cope with the frightening possibility of being lost in hell. You know, some people refuse to think about hell. Some people refuse to talk about hell. A humanist view is that a man can solve all his problems, including administering of appropriate punishment for evil. He said, well, I can take care of that. I don't need God's help. I can take care of this. Some people say it's an exaggeration of God's love, grace, mercy, and kindness that a God of love, grace, mercy, and kindness can't sentence people to hell. But we see His holiness. We see God's justice. God's justice is shown from the Old Testament into the New Testament. In Romans chapter 11, verse 22. "Behold therefore the goodness and severity of God on them which fail severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise thou also shall be cut off." What is it, Acts 5? Remember Acts 5? Ananias and Sapphira? Sold the land. Come tell Peter, and the apostle said, well, this is what we got for the land. Kept back some of the money. And Ananias, and he was struck dead. 3 hours later, his wife came, so same story, and she was struck dead. We see the severity of God here. We see God's justice being done here. The Holy One is performing justice on this occasion. But if we're good, and if we continue according to the will of God, we're not going to be cut off at the end of time. The biblical doctrine of hell enables us to more deeply appreciate God's love by which we are served. Serving Him in this life, and which we're saved from perishing in hell. John 3:16 again, Jesus said, "And whosoever believeth in Him should not perish." Hell is of the same duration as heaven. Matthew 25 and verse 46, the end of that great judgment scene that Jesus depicts, and he says, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment." Jesus revealed the horrors experienced by a lost person. In Luke 16, you remember the Here is the case of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man had everything in this life that he could ever want. Lazarus was a poor beggar, and he was lucky if he could get any crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. But the great equalizer came one day. They both died. Lazarus went up into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man lifted up, the Bible says, he lifted up his eyes in torments, and he looked over to Lazarus, and he said, "Father Abraham," he said, "send Lazarus over and let him dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame." The state of those individuals changed on that occasion. So we can see hell is a real place. Heaven is a real place. The rich man knew hell was a real place. Lazarus knew heaven was a real place. Tonight, where are you going? If you would die tonight, or if Jesus would come, are you going to heaven? Are you sure? Are you sure like Paul, like Jim preached last Sunday? Paul said, "I know where I'm going." He told Timothy he knew where he was going, to a place where Jesus is. But if you can't say that, you might be sentenced to hell at the end of time or when Jesus comes. If you need to respond in the invitation of the Lord, either by baptism for remission of sins or by rededication of your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, we encourage you to do that while together we stand and sing.